Now, therefore, Mablung, as he had said, commanded his 10 riders to keep Morwen and Nienor on the hilltop, and not to stir thence until he returned, unless some great peril arose. And if that befell, the riders should set Morwen and Nienor in their midst, and flee, as swiftly as they might, east away, towards Doriath, sending one ahead to bring news and seek aid. Then Mablung took the other score of his company, and they crept down from the hill, and then, passing into the fields westward, where trees were few, they scattered, and made each his way, daring but stealthy, to the banks of Narog. Mablung himself took the middle way, going towards the bridge, and so came to its hither end, and found it all broken down. And the deep cloven river, running wild after rains far away northward, was foaming and roaring among the fallen stones. But Glaurung lay there, just within the shadow of the great passage that led inward from the ruined doors. And he had long been aware of the spies, though few other eyes in Middle-earth would have discerned them. But the glance of his fell eyes was keener than that of the eagles, and outreached the far sight of the elves. And indeed, he knew also that some remained behind and sat upon the bare top of Amon Ithir. Thus, even as Mablung crept among the rocks, seeking whether he could ford the wild river upon the fallen stones of the bridge, suddenly Glaurung came forth with a great blast of fire and crawled down into the stream. Then straightway there was a vast hissing, and huge vapours arose, and Mablung and his followers that lurked near were engulfed in a blinding steam and foul stench, and the most fled as best they could guess towards the Spy Hill. But as Glaurung was passing over Narog, Mablung drew aside and lay under a rock and remained, for it seemed to him that he had an errand yet to do. He knew now indeed that Glaurung abode in Nargothrond, but he was bidden also to learn the truth concerning Húrin's son, if he might. And in the stoutness of his heart, therefore, he purposed to cross the river as soon as Glaurung was gone and search the halls of Felagund, for he thought that all had been done that could be for the keeping of Morwen and Nienor. The coming of Glaurung would be marked, and even now the riders should be speeding towards Doriath. Glaurung, therefore, passed Mablung by, a vast shape in the mist, and he went swiftly, for he was a mighty worm, and yet lithe. Then Mablung behind him forded Narog in great peril, but the watchers upon Amon Ithir beheld the issuing of the dragon, and were dismayed. At once they bade Morwen and Nienor mount without debate, and prepared to flee eastward as they were bidden. But even as they came down from the hill into the plain, an ill wind blew the great vapours upon them, bringing a stench that no horses would endure. Then, blinded by the fog, and in mad terror of the dragon reek, the horses soon became ungovernable, and went wildly this way and that, and the guards were dispersed, and were dashed against trees to great hurt, or sought vainly one for another. The neighing of the horses and the cries of the riders came to the ears of Glaurung, and he was well pleased.